It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morning, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you this morning?
I'm very good, thank you. It's a beautiful day out there. The dam levels are approaching 80%.
Oh, nice.
The vaccination rates are approaching 80%, and in 24 hours we'll be at level 3, which is still a pretty carefully regulated state of affairs to keep the COVID from spreading, but does get about 300,000 Aucklanders back to work. So, yeah, I'm feeling positive this morning.
Yes, it is definitely something I think a lot of people have been looking forward to hearing. As you say, for a lot of people it is essentially lockdown with takeaways, but there are a big portion of the city heading back to work this week. What is the council doing to ensure that it is still safe and feasible for people to get around, get to work and get to the places they need to be in a safe way?
Well, it's important to remember that while we'll have all of those extra people back at work in construction, we'll have people in retail and hospitality that will be able to do click and collect, and we'll be able to slightly extend our bubbles for members of the family that might be living alone, etc. The emphasis is really on caution. We are really glad to be out of level 4 because the costs, human and financial, were great. But we know that we still have to follow all of the rules, and those rules are keep within your bubble. When you're out and about with people, mask up. Make sure that you wash your hands regularly. Check in when you're doing your QR code. All of those things are really important. And look, most Aucklanders, I want a big call out for most Aucklanders. Most Aucklanders have been complying, have been playing their role, doing their bit to help us get out of this. There is, unfortunately, always a small section of people who, whether you're at level 4 or level 3 or whatever level you're at, that don't seem to even understand that there are rules and just go about doing their thing. And in some of those communities, you are getting the risk of transmission, particularly where people have, if you're going to have a party in your home, you're asking for trouble. You shouldn't be doing that. You can't do that. There are health orders against it. So, the call is, one, follow the rules. Two, if you haven't already been vaccinated, if you're not part of that 80% that have got at least their first vax, please go out and get it done, because that's the best way to protect you, your family and the community.
So how will the council be supporting people to continue the good work that's been happening in level 4? Are we going to see more, particularly around public transport and in these spaces where people will be heading back into work, any particular supports from the council in that regard?
Well, the council's role is to help with the messaging, to help with the decision-making, and most of that decision-making, of course, occurs centrally, but I'm regularly in touch with government to say, hey, this is how Aucklanders are thinking, this is what we really need. AT, of course, will be maintaining its normal requirements that you have to mask up to be on public transport, that you use your hop card, that you enter through the rear door, that you socially distance where you can. I'm not expecting to see massive changes yet on public transport. There'll be a few more people using it, but that will come at level 2 and level 1. And what our focus as a city needs to be on, we're at level 3. We know the advantages of that. We also know that there are still, a score of community transmission cases each day that are being reported. We're not out of the woods. There still is risk. Be mindful of that risk and play your role to make sure that we mitigate it.
In non-COVID related news, I did want to touch on the Three Waters reform that's happening across the country. We're seeing some pushback from Christchurch in particular, the council down there not particularly happy with it. Where is Auckland at the moment in the Three Waters conversation?
Well, we have been right from the start, which is to say, look, we acknowledge the need for nationwide reform. We think that there are advantages in bringing together the 67 different water entities that are too fragmented sometimes to do the job. We see that there are benefits in having a water quality regulator and an economic regulator to ensure that we do make investments and we do have the water quality standards that we need across the country. What we reject is the government's proposed ownership and governance arrangements, which we believe removes democratic accountability and the loss of direct control by councils over water services entities.
So what would the what would Auckland Council like to see in place of that?
Well, we'd like to see Auckland as, you know, even if we amalgamate with the northern area as is proposed under Water Entity A, we'd like to see us retaining the level of ownership and control that we have as the ownership of 94% of the proposed organisation's assets, providing 92% of the income and over 90% of the population. What we don't want to see is some bureaucratically led organisation that isn't responsive and isn't accountable to the people of Auckland through their elected representatives. And I've made that point quite strongly, quite directly and very consistently to the government, so there is no doubt at all where we stand. And I'm taking a paper to my governing body this week, meeting virtually of course, on the 23rd of September, where we set out the basis of the submission that we will be formally making as a council to the government, and that submission will go by the end of the week.
So what is the timeline beyond that? What is the timeline for the three waters reform and the submissions process?
Well, the government set aside an 8-week period for councils to absorb the information and the proposed model, and they've invited submissions back. And I'm really hoping that the government is listening and that they understand that while we share their overall objectives, we think that the framework that they've created means that effectively our ownership of a $10 billion asset in which we're investing another $11 billion in the next 10 years doesn't slip out of our control, which is what would happen under this arrangement, and that we continue to have the ability as elected representatives of the people of Auckland to give broad strategic direction to whatever replaces water care, because without that we are losing both ownership and control of an asset that's really important to Aucklanders.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some development that's happening out in Drury. For people who aren't familiar with what is actually going on out there, you have been quite critical in the past of these fast-track plans to get more housing developments on the way out there. Can you explain a little bit what your hesitations are around that?
Yeah, well, you know, it's great that the development is going ahead, but when the developers say, well, we're going to vastly expand that, and that's what the plan change is about, they are magically expecting that somehow council will have a vastly expanded budget that we can provide the billions of dollars worth of infrastructure that are needed for that development. And we're saying, look, sorry, there's a hell of a lot that's happening right across the city at the moment. We are continuing to suffer from, you know, revenue loss caused by the lockdowns and COVID-19, and we're not in the position to provide this. And if you want these developments to occur, you're going to have to come to the party yourself with vastly increased development contributions, because you are the developers that are creating the need for this infrastructure and that will benefit from it in the sale of the properties that take advantage of that infrastructure. Now, you know, I'm not pointing an accusatory finger at the developers. I think some of the developments are really good. They're doing good work. But if the development costs don't come in a larger proportion out of development contributions by the developer, then they're going to have to be paid for by the ratepayer. And I don't think it's fair to impose on the ratepayer right across Auckland the cost of infrastructure that's needed for the commercial development of these properties.
So what happens at this point? Is it a conversation between the council and the developers, or is it something that's imposed on the development that is happening? What is the way forward from here?
Well, as of yesterday, we've put our development contributions policy out for consultation. And, you know, we want to hear from Aucklanders generally, as well as the developers, but the developers have got a very strong interest in it. They will analyse what our council officers have come up with, and it is quite a hefty increase in development contributions. Let's make no bones about that. And we'll listen to the submissions that they make in reply, then council will be required to make a decision on the merits of the case. So there is dialogue that will occur if the developers developers, you know, don't like what council is doing. They always have the power to challenge that legally to make sure that we've followed the right process and that that has been a fair process. And we're striving to ensure that that will be a fair process, that we take into account their needs, the need for development, but also the need to pay for the infrastructure that makes that development possible. Mm. And, you know, we don't have a money trip that we can shake. We're putting, you know, $31.8 billion into infrastructure as it is, but we cannot. We simply don't have the funds, and ratepayers can't be expected to pay ever-increasing high levels of rates in order to meet the cost of every development, every piece of infrastructure that every developer wants. So we've got to think laterally, and we've got to look at alternative options, and we're asking the developers too to come to the party and to contribute a greater share so that we can pay for the cost of that infrastructure.
Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Goff. Glad to be at Level 3, and we will talk to you again next week, where hopefully we'll continue to see some good news in the case numbers, and we'll hopefully see some good news in the community as well.
Yeah, so let's celebrate, but let's remain cautious, let's follow the rules, and let's get vaccinated. They're the messages.
Excellent. Good messages. Hey, thanks for that. We'll talk to you okay. next week. Ka kite.
Mate wa.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Thank you.